Welcome again to Raw Emotion, a Tottenham pod. Tonight we're reflecting on the 2-1 win over Southampton. As usual, we have a discussion before the game in regards to the lineup, and we will have a chat at half-time during the game to see what we think about the game, and then a debrief after the game. We're also going to discuss a little bit about the failure of the European Super League, which we're happy about, Mourinho going and Ryan Mason come in, and talk about who we wouldn't mind seeing getting the job in the future. And just a warning that there will be swearing on this pod, so if you do have kids around, perhaps don't listen to it for now. Cheers. Yeah, good, mate. So just really quickly, we obviously did a pod 2 days ago. Things have changed again. Super League is over.
Just woohoo!
Quick thoughts on that, mate.
Mate, I think it was dead in the water anyway. The concept of it was which is what made it a non-starter. Yeah, that's it. Happy days. It's done and dusted, and people are starting to fall on their swords. And yeah, I hope Joe Lewis pisses off too.
Well, yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. We've got to find someone who's going to stump up to the best part of 2 billion or maybe more than that. It's not as easy as that, is it? And I think other clubs will be looking to sell as well at the minute. So it's not going to be easy. But we'll move on from that. You've seen the lineup. What are you making of the lineup?
I'm happy to see that Gareth's back in the squad. I'm happy to see Lucas has started, obviously, because we've got no Kane. Mr. Glass, Giovanni himself, has made the start. So I'm assuming he's been making good strides in training. And it looks positive, with exception to Eric Dyer. So I'm quite happy with that squad. I'm quite happy. I probably would have put Tendanga in, though, instead of Dyer, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, mate. I'm really pleased with that team lineup. I think it's a good shout saying Tanganga over Dyer. But apart from that, it's good to see, as you say, Bow back in the lineup. We're going to finally, from the start, I can't remember whether we've ever seen Højbjerg, Lo Celso, and Ndombele start a game together. I think maybe once they might have started a game together.
Maybe with a substitute appearance here and there. I think it's going to be more interesting to see how the front three work, because I can't see either of them, either of the three being like the main striker. I reckon you're going to see a lot of switching about between Bale, Sonny, and Lucas today. Because let's be honest, if you've got two lots of pace there in Son and Lucas, and if Bale can ping out the passes that we know he can, and you know, even put in a little burst here and there, I think we might cause Southampton some problems. Ryan Mason, well done. You've gone with a decent looking squad there, and fair play, mate. Let's hope he gets a result.
Yeah, and I think Bergwijn's back on the bench, Vinicius is back on the bench, Dele on the bench, Lamella, Sissoko, Winks, Tanganga and Sanchez.
I'll tell you what, to be fair, seeing Vinny on the bench, I feel a little bit sorry for Vinny, because he was supposed to be the Kane cover, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm even more pleased to see Bergie. I know a lot of people have written him off, and they think that he's been a waste of money. But for me, he's a confidence player, and he didn't suit the Mourinho style. And I think as long as we get the right man in, we're going to see exactly why we bought him in the first place.
I'm totally with you there, mate. I'm 100%. I totally agree with that. I think some fans write players way too early. Mm-hmm. He's definitely shown glimpses of brilliance for me.
Yeah.
And again, what you said there, like, I don't think he's suited the Mourinho style. He's a very much a flair attacking player, wants to go forward, wants to take players on. And I don't think he was afforded the licence to do that under Mourinho.
No, I don't. I'll be honest, mate, I've already got a little bit of a prediction. I reckon that substitutes tonight. I think that it wouldn't surprise me if we see Vinny, Ali and Bergwijn come on with a view to Sunday. In the final, it would make sense just to see how they do tonight. See what they give. See if Bergwijn can recapture something. Yeah, for me, I'm I'll say with exception to Dio, as we've already said, I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, I'm really like, I never hated Mourinho. I was Mourinho out. I never hated the guy. It just didn't, for me, it just didn't work. I just saw signs of the players not putting it in for me. I have nothing against Mourinho, but I'm actually excited about seeing a different approach.
To be fair, Tottenham are associated, and don't get me wrong, I was in the chat with some guys last night, just a random chat I got added into on Grindr. Twitter. Yeah, it was, mate. We were comparing cock sizes while talking about Tottenham. No, it was on Twitter. It was great talking to some really, really, you know, lads who had some really interesting opinions.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of there was a couple of them that were all Levy and Lewis out.
Yeah.
There was people like me who were credit where it's due. You know, the way that Levy's run the club, we've still been able to compete without spending shitloads. You know, he's managed to keep us sustainable, which has been fantastic. But as regards kind of the writing off of people, the writing off of players, I think is something that still is quite apparent within that group I was chatting with last night. Steven Bergvall was getting ripped to shreds. They were, you know, even calling Eric Lamella, you know, a Spurs legend, and he needs his own statue. It was, it was quite interesting.
Well, everyone's got their own opinions, haven't they? I suppose that's why we do this podcast as well. We don't always share
exactly.
The same,
yeah, well, like I say,
opinions.
We're emotionally driven.
Yeah.
So hold on, fuck, shit, bastard. I had to swear for a little bit, so I just have to get
just
that one.
You get
Tourette's.
It in there.
That's
yeah.
It. The
you're allowed on. You're allowed on this podcast.
I'm allowed to on this. Yeah.
I put in the warning on the intro.
We've got no one restricting us on this one. So happy.
No. No, I don't know what you mean, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna have a swig of my water, wait there. Right.
everyone's gonna be going, why is that funny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a very in joke. Just
it's a private joke, guys, don't worry.
Yeah, sorry about that. We didn't mean to leave you out. Yeah. Well, listen, mate, I'm gonna catch you at half time, and we'll speak during the game, but not via the pod, but we'll text each other and I'll catch you at half time, mate.
Yes, mate. We'll have our half time in rundown and then yeah.
Come on, you Spurs. 2-0 up at half time, you'll see. Come on.
Christine.
Well, I said 2-0 to Tottenham at half time. Eat my words now, really. I mean, I'm not gonna, at the end of the day, it's Ryan Mason's first game. But I don't think personally we've looked any different than what we did under Mourinho. We did grow into it a bit. You texted me to say you was quietly impressed.
Yeah.
I said I didn't think we were great, but we were getting a little bit better. And then no sooner than I texted it, we went 1-0 down. But yeah,
I know it was Sod's law, wasn't it? The kiss of death. I'll be honest. There's parts where I'm sat there and I see, do you know what? Something really stupid, like how Aurier got upset that they got the corner.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't see that before. There's little bits there that are making me think. Oh, there's a little bit of passion back. They're going in with some challenges that they were, you know, didn't seem to bother with before. We look a little bit lost up front in the final third.
Yeah.
Without having Harry there. I think Vinny needs to come on, give us a recognised striker.
He would come, that would be the, I'd be making that substitution at half time. I'd probably get the Celso off and
yeah,
bring him.
I don't know what, I've been quite happy with the Celso with this first half. I'll be like, the only, you know, if I was going to be overly critical, is Aurier should have been goal side of Ings. But he
was. That
wasn't.
Was a great header. Yeah.
I'm
one of them where I'm not going to, you know.
And that's what I mean. I'm being overly critical. At the end of the day, it was a good header by Ings. You know, it was a nice ball in by Ward-Prowse, which you don't expect anything less from him, let's be honest.
It was a great it was a really good header.
Yeah, it was nice. But, I think Spurs have had a little bit more about them in general. They look like they've got a little bit more about them. It's just, and they seem to have a bit more of a shape as well. With this game under Ryan, but I'll be honest, you do. It's for me they do. I look at it and you think, well, you know, they've all kind of, you know, Aurier and sort of, he's tracking the back a bit more. You look at Dio and Alderweireld. They've got there's definitely that bit between them of, well, I'm going forward, you sit back, rather than, you know, both of them taking a step up and then going, oh shit, who's behind us?
I mean, we could have been 2-0 down. We could have been 2-0 down in the first 5 minutes.
Could have been 3, mate. Could have been 3. Yeah, that yeah. save by Lloris.
Double save. Yeah.
Superb. Yeah, yeah. Superb.
You know, and that's, you know, with Aspinall all season, people are slinging in box crosses into the box, and our defenders look all over the bloody place.
Yeah. That was 2 minutes. That was 2 minutes in. You know yeah. what I mean? That double save. But it was superb. And Spurs should have taken confidence from that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I don't see. I'm not blaming Ryan Mason at all. He's been in the job for 2 days, but I did expect that they would come out as themselves, as professionals, mm-hmm. and think, right, we got fucking something to prove here. And I expected a better. I'll be honest. I expected a better performance. I expected us to be with that lineup. I expected us to be really going for the juggler at Southampton. They're on the worst form of any team this year.
The problem you've got though is he's been in for 2 days. Now let's say, hold on, wait. They've been out for 2 days.
No, hold on. You've had your
fuck you.
I'm having mine. Regardless of that, I think we should have come out better than that.
But if they're bereft of confidence because Jose's, you know, torn them down too much, then 2 days isn't enough to maybe.
But that's what I'm saying. Regardless of if you've got a manager or no manager or anyone else, they should be doing that themselves. I don't think, you know, in the job you do, you don't need a manager standing over you telling you what to bloody do. You should be doing that anyway. And if you've got a manager if you've got a manager that you're pissed off with, you might not put in them type of performances. But that manager's now gone. They should be doing it regardless of whether Ryan's been in 1 day or 5 weeks. You know what I mean?
You make a valid point, sir.
Yeah. So, but listen, I'm still, Southampton are crap, really.
Like the commentator said, there will be a chance or two for Spurs.
It's like when things are not going well for you, you don't get that luck. Like them two balls that bounce right at the end of the second half.
Yeah.
On another day, if you'd have been more 2-0 up, they'd have fallen for you. It'd be 3 or 4-0, you know. But yeah. when things are not going for you, it just doesn't seem. You don't seem to get them breaks. All it takes is one goal.
They keep their heads up. Second half, they're still in it. Even though Southampton, despite how bad they are, have been the better side, they just keep their heads up, keep persevering, and hopefully they'll get the break and they'll bounce from there, and hopefully we'll be able to steal it. I still think we've got a chance of nicking it.
Oh, I do. No, don't get me wrong. I do as well. I just haven't been impressed with that half. But that's not to say second half we can come out and turn this around. We've definitely got the players that can do that. That's the thing. You'd have Vinicius on. Who would you be taking off then?
I would take off Bale.
Right.
The only reason I'd take Bale off is because Lucas has got a bit more pace. As long as he can, you know, and if he starts pushing forward, like when he won that free kick against Ward-Prowse, as long as he can, you know, sort of get that pace and run with the ball, and that's the only reason. I don't think Bale's had a bad half or any worse than anybody else. I just think that he's got the speed that will be beneficial to us in the second half with Son over Bale.
Yeah, and the reason I would take the Celso again, I don't think he's had a terrible game. But I would probably just go 4-2-3-1, and I'd just keep Ndombele and Højbjerg in the middle, and just put Vinicius up front on his own, and then three back in behind. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think we're both in agreement that Vinicius should be coming on, because there's no vocal point up front at all, is there? There's no one to hold the ball up. So we'll see what happens, and I'll catch you at full time, Matt.
Yes, mate, I'll catch you at full time. Hello, mate.
Come on. Let's have it. Yeah. Feels good, mate. It does.
The second half was a marked improvement on the first. I think some of Spurs fans need to stop getting carried away, though. He's interim manager. It's one game. We can't be calling for Ryan Mason, permanent manager, saviour of Spurs.
I haven't actually seen that. Just to get it out there, I had to go and collect my son from his football match on that the 83rd, 84th minute. So I was listening to a live YouTube stream. So I missed all the VAR stuff, and I've not been on Twitter, so I've not seen anyone calling for Ryan Mason. But to be honest with you, I was thinking about this. There isn't any. If he does a good job until the end of the season, I can see him getting it. And I was just thinking, remember you said the other day about Tottenham don't tend to have an interim. We bloody do. Don't you remember Sherwood? I mean, it was exactly the same situation where he came from another position in Tottenham and done a fairly decent job and then got the job full time. I could see potentially that happening with Mason. And listen,
I'll be honest, mate, I think you're right, only if the people that Tottenham really, really want aren't available.
Yeah, but I'd be happy if he got it. If he did a good job to the end of the season, he deserves a chance. Why not?
Everyone's worth a chance, mate.
Well, exactly. We've tried everything, haven't we, mate? Yes, be honest. We've tried the big name manager now. That didn't work. So why not?
We haven't. We still need a new chairman and owner. If we try that and it still goes tits up, then fine. We've tried.
Well, we did try that when we all wanted sugar out, and then we got Levy, and now we all want Levy out. So, you know,
sometimes it's better.
Yeah, you know, so it's one of them things, you don't know what you're going to get, do you? So I remember when Ennett come in, and as I say, everyone was protesting to get sugar out. So, you know,
it's like going to Thailand. You know, you take your chance and you see what you get.
I take your word for that, but I've never been there. But yeah,
no, me either.
But what did you make of the second half? You said it was a marked improvement.
There were some nice. I'll be honest. For me, there were some nice passages of football, some nice passing. They up the tempo.
Willingness. The best way to describe it is the first half. They reminded me of watching a
in school play who can't remember his lines, wasn't quite sure where to position himself, gave his best shot. And then the second half, we came out like Tottenham. A little bit more like Tottenham. You know, we played some nice passing balls. We seem to have a little bit more of a third. And yeah, we got the goal that was needed. And I think once that goal went in, we then became more like the Spurs we know. We still were a bit weak at the back. You know, Southampton, I think the fair Ings going off made a big difference for Southampton. But we had a bit more impetus and nice to see. I'll be honest, this was the first game where I've not had any dread in anything that was going to happen. So when Winks came, I know there would have been a few groans amongst Spurs fans that he came on. I was glad Stevie Berg minutes. He still looks a little bit confident, but I think we'll come back if Ryan shows some faith in him. I think the only other thing that stuck out to me was when Sonny scored the penalty. It was like, that's not the winning goal, boys. We need to keep going. Which I thought was good. It was that kind of mentality that's needed at the moment. We fought hard, and instead of it being Tottenham,
thank you very much.
You know, it's what we needed.
And what did they look like, Mac, once we scored the penalty? What were the celebrations like? Because I've noticed over the past few weeks, whenever we scored a goal, there didn't really seem that anyone was that bothered or celebrating. Did they celebrate? Did they look happy?
It like? Sonny was over the moon. The players all got round him, and it looked like they were happy.
And it looked like I thought when we scored that disallowed goal that VAR ruled out, because he was blocking the view and all that stuff. They looked really happy then as well. And as usual, fucking almost, VAR spoiling
well,
it. But yeah, go on.
It almost looked like relief.
Right.
It almost looked like relief.
going 2-1 up with 2 minutes to go rather than going 2-1 down.
Yeah. It makes a nice change, doesn't it?
It does. And I'll be. It is. It did. It looked a little bit like relief to me in a lot of ways. It was a crash challenge and like VAR work was on the line, so it was a Stonewall penalty. It worked against us. I can understand how it was construed as potentially interfering with play as regards blocking the keeper's view.
Yeah.
But if it was good enough for us to have the goal given, when position probably, in my opinion, affecting the goalkeeper more than but it is what it is, and again, we cry consistency.
I must admit, I've not seen that Arsenal goal. I was pissed off that they equalised. So
I think if I remember right, front of the keeper, the guy stood right. The keeper kind of went to the guy in front of him who was in an offside position. It went through to Nketiah, who wasn't in an offside position when the ball was played, and he put it in at the far post.
Mm. Okay. Well, I've not seen that one, but I have seen other decisions where players have been in an offside position, potentially obstructing the keeper's view, and they have been given as well. And that's what you say. It's just so inconsistent, VAR. There's no point to it.
But listen, let's not focus on VAR. We've got 3 points. Hopefully it helps get the monkey off our back. Forward now for 6 games of the season plus the cup final. I don't want to use VAR as,
I fucking hate VAR, right? And I think when we talk about what's ruining football and we're talking about protesting and getting our game back, mm-hmm. I think we should fucking all protest bloody VAR, because I think that's ruining the fucking game as well.
We'll leave it for a different day,
but, I think it's relevant, and I think we all need to fucking get together as fans.
Who's going to be the angry one for that podcast?
That will be me, for sure, because I fucking hate it.
Fucking right.
But I'm delighted tonight. I'm delighted for Ryan Mason, a player that had his career cut short by a terrible injury. Come through us as a kid. To whether it's, he's only in the job for the end of the season. I'm so happy that he's on his first game. Got a win under his belt.
As much as I don't think his age makes a blind bit of difference, he's the youngest Premier manager to manage it.
And to win a game.
So, part of me almost hopes some of the Sam Allardyce happens to him, and at least then he can say he's got 100% Premier League.
And this is why we do this thing at half time. So there's no room for hindsight on this podcast, that we were both, you said to take Bale off, and he got the equaliser. I said to take Lo Celso off and get Vinicius off, and he threaded the ball through for the goal that was disallowed.
I'll be honest, mate. Yeah, Lucas looked like he took a knee in the thigh, and I thought he was going to go off. But like I said, first half for me, there was, I know the commentators sat there and went, Bale was sort of shining light at the first half. I don't think he was any better than some of the others.
I don't think you could pick out one player that actually had
But to be fair though, it was Dean Saunders, I think. So I think, a bit of the old
either way, it was
a Welshman. So I think there was a bit of the old Welshman's loyalty there. But either way, I've said this on previous podcasts that we've been, being able to
associated with,
as well as our own. If we knew, if we were good enough to be sat on the bench, we wouldn't be doing this. I hoped Stevie Bergwijn would get on. I thought Lamella would have come on, and he did. The only one I got wrong was Winks came on instead of Vinny.
I think a lot of people would have been calling for Vinicius because we didn't have that vocal point up front. That's what we thought as laymen.
With the cup final coming up, I think it would have been a good chance of giving Vinny 20 minutes. But if he'd given him 20 minutes, would we have won 20? You don't know what would have happened. So
perhaps he showed belief in the, perhaps it just showed belief in the players that he picked, and you know, it worked out, didn't it? So fair play.
Do you know what? It doesn't matter what he's done. Bottom line is we've got 3 points.
Yeah,
we've got a positive result. The second half was positive, and to be fair, it was almost like the reverse of a Mourinho being there. You know, first half better, second half. You know, but like I say, the most important thing is we've won, we've got 3 points. We've still keep some kind of hope alive for some form of European football. I'm not going to say Champions League, even though we're only, 4 points away. I think it is something like that. So yeah, but there's still hope for, you know, for something positive to come from the end of this season. Who knows? Maybe that's a cup win. Maybe that's Europe. Maybe it's both.
I think we're 2 points off of Chelsea, who are in fourth, and we're 3 points off of Leicester. But Leicester have got 2 games in hand of us, and Chelsea have got one. And West Ham.
I thought they only both had 1 point ahead of one game. Sorry, not 1 point.
Yeah, Chelsea and West Ham. Chelsea and West Ham have 1 game, and Leicester have 2 games in hand of us. Leicester have played 31 games and are on 56 points. Chelsea have played 32 on 55. West Ham have played 32 on 55. We've played 33 and on 53 points. Liverpool are behind us on 32 games on 53 points. And Everton have 2 games in hand of us on 49 points. So it's really tight.
So we need West Brom to do us a favour.
Well, Chelsea and West Ham are playing each other at the weekend. We need that to be a draw.
We need West Brom to. I reckon if West Brom can hold Leicester, because Leicester's having a little bit of a dip at the moment.
Leicester have a very tough run at the end, including us.
Yeah, I know, but West Brom's on the up at the moment, which I think Leicester won't like. But kind of coincides with their tough run. And West Ham, Chelsea, right. We need that one to be a draw. Sort of moving forward.
Leicester will have the FA Cup final on. I said the other week that we're not even in a bloody race because you know Mourinho was there. And I just could not see anything from them players given anything. It makes me slightly more confident now, even though it's a couple of games on. That actually, I think we've left it too late. I think there's too many teams with too many games in hand. But listen, I'm more confident now. There's someone else in charge, and there's a slight chance. Listen, if we get Europa League, I'll be happy with that after the last couple of months and the way things have been. But yes, see what happens. We've got the cup final on Sunday. That's the next game we really need to focus on. We're going to be doing a brief pod on that, aren't we? I don't know whether you want to say anything or that. I'll leave that as a surprise.
We're going to be putting out on Thursday tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
we have got a special guest, but when we'll leave it as a little surprise when we post it out. Once it's done, you'll be able to watch. You'll be able to listen. And see who we've had join us. I can promise
very exciting.
I can promise you guys, it is a little bit of a treat because for those who know the gentleman who's joining us, they know how Tottenham he is. He's a great ex professional and an all round. So really looking forward to that one tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. And just before we go, Mac, we talked about the manager Mason is the interim manager. Is there a manager out there who you would personally like, given the choice?
I don't. Everyone's going on about this Nagelsmann. I don't know much about him. So based on what I know, I'd be quite happy to announce Brendan Rodgers. I know some people might think, oh well, him coming to Tottenham from Leicester would be either a sidestep or a curb up rather than a step up. But I think he's shown he can work with a small budget and he can get the best out of his players. He's done brilliantly since being at Leicester. I think with a little bit of extra cash behind him, and if we can keep the players like Kane, Son, you know, and fill in the gaps, then he could almost do what he did at Liverpool when they just missed out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to Brendan Rodgers. I think he's a proven Premier League manager, as you say. He's done wonders at Leicester, got them to an FA Cup final. They do seem to stutter a bit at the end of the season, like last, you know, the end of last season, where they should have really got. But you got to give it that there was a massive gap in between. It's not really fair. They may have, they may have got top four.
Thing is, you can't base it on. Look at what Leicester's done in general since Brendan Rodgers taken over. Forget the pandemic year, but you look what he did at Liverpool. He missed out.
It was the slip. Know, just, it was a slip by Gerrard, wasn't it?
Listen, I didn't want to bring that up, you know, in case. Yeah, but yeah, you know, let's not fuck up, lads. Let's not let it slip.
Don't let it slip now. Yeah.
No, mate.
It was great. I slipped, and then I was
fucked, and the as far it. Anyway, and then you look at what he did at Celtic.
I know.
Sit there and say, you know, it's Scottish football, it's Sunday league, it's, but he's come back and he's proven that what he did at Liverpool, what he's done at Celtic, he can do back in the Premier League with a dodgier club or with a squad that wasn't Liverpool standard. So
I'm gonna leave it soon, but there was also a rumour today that Levy was looking, I think it was in The Athletic, that Levy was looking to appoint a director of football. And I'd like to see us go back to that, but get a more proven director of football.
Well, I was going to say, it depends who you get, mate, doesn't it?
Yeah, someone proven, you know.
But the Athletic around a salary, for fuck's sake.
I don't want that. I mean, I'd rather give it Ryan Mason, to be honest with you, than have Sarri come in. I really don't want that to happen.
I was in a little chat with some people last night on Twitter, and I'll be perfectly honest, mate, I a rat's up to Tottenham as long as they do the job.
As long as they do the job, but I just don't want another, given a choice, I don't want another fucking Chelsea manager. I'm sorry.
AVB, Mourinho, I expect to be also at the same time. It's just like whoever comes in, you know, do the job.
If they do a good job, mate, as I've said before, I don't care if fucking Hitler comes back from the fucking grave and manages to a fucking title. I couldn't give a shit, mate, if we win the title. But, you know,
I don't think he'd come to Tottenham. I don't think
we'd be his first choice.
No, I wouldn't want to go for a shower either. But.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't be his first choice of club, I'm sure. But all right, mate. Listen, we'll leave it there. We're going to be back recording tomorrow.
Yeah, well done, Spurs.
Well done, Ryan. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for listening again tonight. As I say, it's always best to do a recording after a win. If you haven't done so already, please go check out our YouTube channel. It's the same as the title of this podcast, Raw Emotion, a Tottenham pod. There's a great video up there of Mac and his friend Chris, who became the first wheelchair user to go up on the Skywalk. A great day for the pair of them. So it'd be great if you can go and watch that. Also, subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to this podcast. It really helps us out. Leave a review. And as we say every time, if you do want to come on and share your views, you're more than welcome to do it. Just send us a tweet and we'll get you on. We are doing a show tomorrow, as mentioned. We've got a special guest, which we're not going to reveal right now, but we'd love for you to, again, go see us on YouTube. We'll put it out on a podcast as well. I hope you all had a good evening. As I say, nice to be going to bed with 3 points. So, well done, Spurs. Thank you, Ryan. Cheers.